forgiven by God. But I want to talk about the fact that there are times when we need to forgive. Lean over and tell your neighbor, he's especially talking to you about this now. All right. Okay. And I always like to walk in the park on Mondays to get the mind of the Lord as to what he wants to do for Sunday. And it was pretty clear. The Lord spoke to me and downloaded some things to me. That's one of the reasons I love the cell phone, you know, because I used to have to, when I was doing this, I used to have to stop and pull out some paper and write down what the Lord is speaking to me. But now I just get my phone and I speak into it. How many of you can identify with that? You're in the same boat. And it makes it a lot easier. So get ready. Here we go. All right. Let's look at Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. By the way, lean over and tell your neighbor, you're really looking good today. All right. Say, I forgive you in advance, even though you haven't done anything. Okay. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, say, that's me, put on tender mercies. How many know we have to put it on, right? Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another, and what? Forgiving one another. How many know that as much as husbands love wives and wives love husbands and mothers love sons and daughters and all that, how many know that we can grate on each other from time to time, right? How many know we need to keep short accounts? Amen. All right. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. I would say if you have a complaint, first of all, pray for that individual, right? And then if it continues, then there's a way to work it out and talk with them. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you must forgive. As far as God is concerned, it's not an option, right? You got to do it. Okay. So, praise the Lord. This is called the grace of forgiveness. So I'll give you the first one here. Keep short ledgers. Ledgers, L-E-D-G-E-R-S, if you need to know how to spell it. Be quick to forgive or it will rob us of assurance and faith for our healing. All right, so let's look at Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. The Lord has already provided healing for us. But if we hold resentments and we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, it blocks us from being able to receive the forgiveness that God has already purchased for us. How many believe the Lord wants you to walk in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit every day? You know, but if we hold grudges, then it robs us. It's like your bucket's got a hole in it, right? Now, I love this one. He says, surely he has borne our griefs. Who's the he? Jesus. Surely he's done it. That means you don't even have to debate it. It's done. It's a done deal. Surely he's borne your griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Transgressions are the breaking of the law, basically. He was bruised for our iniquities, deep-seated sins and things like that that we've wrestled with in times past. And the chastisement, that's an old-fashioned word. It means punishment. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. He was punished for us, basically, right? And by his stripes we are healed. Now, I love 1 Peter 2:24 because it looks back on Calvary and it says, with his stripes, you what? You were healed, right? Lean over and tell your neighbor, you were healed. It's done. It's finished. Praise God. Okay. So let's look at the next fill in here. If we try to suppress an offense, anybody ever try to do that? Just suppress it. If we try to suppress an offense, it will come out in your dreams. Anybody ever had that? You have a horror show going on at night. You're troubled in your sleep because you're holding grudges, you're holding things, and God's wanting us to get it out. How many know God wants you to have good rest? Good long sleep. Amen. Absolutely. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God, right? So a lot of things can come out in our dreams, and pardon the grammar, but they ain't necessarily God. They're not necessarily the Holy Spirit. They can be other things, especially, I'm not going to go into sleep deprivation, but one of the things that can cause it is unforgiveness. So we have to forgive. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you got to forgive. Number two, I got some really good practical examples here to share with you as well. People tend to read into a potential offense. I know we've all gone through that. We say, what were they really meaning by what they said? Anybody ever been there? Right? I wonder about that. And you think about it and you rehearse it and you're trying to go to sleep at night and you're thinking about it. Right? It may be smaller than you think. Let your spirit rule the problem, not your soul. Right? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And how many know, left unchecked, they're going to run wild? Right? But God wants us in proper order. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace... He's the God of peace. He wants us to walk in peace and live in peace, right? Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your what? Whole spirit, soul, and body. Let me just say this to you. I believe that God has made no mistakes in the Word of God, even the order of the words. So, if he wanted to put soul first, he would, but he said, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we allow the Holy Spirit that has quickened our human spirit, when we allow the Spirit in us to put first things first, then we're going to what? Obey the word of the Lord. We're going to do what God's word says to do. I know sometimes we wrestle with it. You know, we really want to give it to them. We really want to lay it on our neighbor. Anybody ever want to do that? You just, oh. I remember Ina called me one day and she said, Dave, get ready because our neighbor is going to come see you tonight when you drive in. I said, what for? We were putting an addition in our house. We were only married about 10 years or so. And we had an addition. We were living in New Orleans, and we were putting a roof on the house. And the roofer apparently had turned around in this guy's driveway. He didn't get on the grass, but he had to make a turnaround and came into our driveway. So I get home. I get barely out of the car, and here comes this guy. He's not walking. He's running at me. Like, is he going to hit me here? What's going on? Has he got a gun? And he gets right up. Anybody ever had a deal where a guy would get right up in your nose, you know? You know, like Pete Rose with a umpire, where he just gets right in your face. And he said, I'm so blankety-blank mad. He said, that guy that's putting the roof on your house turned around in my driveway. I said, Did he do any damage or did he crack the pavement or anything? No, but how dare he even turn around in my driveway? And he said, if he does it again, that blankety blank blank, he said, I'm going to blow him out of the, I'll get my shotgun and I'll blow him out of the cab. I'm thinking, man, you got some bad tacos today. You know, I didn't say that. You know, that wouldn't have gone over. I mean, no, I had a choice at that time. I could get back in his face and, yeah, you think. The Holy Spirit said, no, take the low road. Take the low road. So I looked at him and I said, his name was Lou. I said, Lou, man, I apologize to you. I said, I didn't know about this. I said, Ina called me about it. And she didn't know about it, but I said, we will definitely tell him he can't do that now. And I said, was there any damage done that we can pay for? Well, it took all the wind out of his sails. He didn't know how to handle that because he thought I was going to be like he was. Right? He said, well, you heard what I had to say. Well, God. And I didn't think anything about it. I mean, we told the guy, just don't do that, please. About a year later, his wife came to see us. My husband's sick in the hospital with cancer. And he specifically asked if you would come and pray for him. I said, sure, we'll come. Able to lead him to Christ, prayed for him, and believe God also restored his health. So how many know if I'd have taken the other way, got back in his faith, none of that would have happened at all. So, amen. Spirit, soul, and body, we've got to get that in order. If your soul, spirit, be calm. Okay. So people tend to read into potential offenses. Let me give you another example. I started out in when I was new in ministry. I started out in Annapolis, Maryland. It's a really beautiful town, and we did a church plant there, myself and another brother, and so I was doing my best. My dear friend Charlie Beck, he and I would share the word every Sunday, and so. We had a guy in our service. He was a lieutenant commander in the Navy and a very respected guy. Somebody came up to me. I had been there a couple months, I guess. Somebody came up to me and said, you know, Lieutenant Commander Bob said some things about you. I went, really? What did he say? And he said this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I went, oh. You ever had somebody do that for you? You just, somebody's talking about you, and here's what they said about you. Well, I was new in ministry, you know. Didn't really know how to handle it. So I got in the car and started driving. And, you know, how many know that the devil can really go to work on you in times like that? And he was lying to me. And he said, you know what? They don't appreciate you here. You need to leave. You need to get in your car and just take off. Go back home. They don't appreciate you. And how many know at a pity party, you're the only one invited, right? And I remember sitting down under this. I drove about 10 miles out of town, got out of my car, went into this field, and I sat down under this tree. And I wasn't crying, but I felt like it, you know. I'm not loved. all this kind of stuff. Of course, I know none of you have ever had to go through anything like that, right? So I'm talking, this is a first-time experience for you. And then when I finally calmed down, the Holy Spirit said, are you done? You know, because I always knew this. In order to get calm, I had to pray in the Spirit. So I prayed in the Spirit, felt God's peace. The Holy Spirit said, are you all done? Because that's not what he said. You need to go back and talk to him. So I went back, had peace, met with him. And he said, no, Pastor, I didn't say that. Here's what I did say. And it was fairly complimentary. And we hugged, and I said, well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And we, from that moment on, we got really close. Well, the story's not over, but it is for this particular point. We'll get more in a little bit. But let's look at number three. Don't wait for feelings to forgive. I'll forgive her when I start feeling like I should do that. Right? Don't wait for feelings to forgive. Act on the word. Lean over and tell your neighbor, act on the word. Don't debate it. Let's look at Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. How many know that's pretty clear? All right? It's pretty clear. So we need to do what the Word says to do. To the degree we forgive, we're forgiven. How many know we can forgive in degrees? And we can forgive in degrees. I'll give you an example. Once we just take a step of faith to, oh, I'm going to forgive that person, then the God's grace is available to us, right? And, you know, I found this to be true where I would step out in faith and I say, okay, Lord, I don't have any feelings except negative, but I'm going to go ahead and forgive that person anyway. So I pray and I forgive and I release them. And every time their face comes before me, I started to do that. Then the Lord said, let's add to that now. Okay? Let's give thanks for that person. What, Lord? What was that? Let's give thanks. You've already forgiven them, so why don't you give thanks for them? Okay. And so we begin to give thanks. But you know what? The cool thing is, after a while, the next time you see that person, you have nothing but love in your heart for that person. I don't know if you've ever, how many of you have experienced that? It works, I'm telling you. And if you haven't, get ready, because you will. Glory to God. You'll get an opportunity. Okay. Don't put off forgiving, as it opens us to more demonic thoughts and reasonings. Don't put it off. Lean over and tell your neighbor, don't put it off. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27. Okay? Be angry and do not sin. Tell the person next to you, he's talking to you. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the what? Sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed angry. Deal with it. All right? Nor give place to the devil. See? So we have to act on things in a timely way. The note says, the longer we procrastinate to act on the word, the harder we can get in our hearts, even justifying our stand. Well, you don't know what they said to me and what they did. Yeah, but how about what Jesus did for you? Years ago, when we first started Healing Rooms, how many of you remember Ron and Maud Panalitis? All right, they're awesome people. Awesome people. And they were one of the real cogs to the Healing Rooms when we first started. And so I usually didn't get involved. We had enough people helping. But one Tuesday, a person who was in the room with them, assisting them, came running down and said, boy, they need you up in the room quickly. They said there's demonic manifestations going on. So I said, okay. So I walked up there. Maud came out of the room. She said, Brother Dave, this lady had been married four times. Very well-dressed, well-heeled lady. Had a lot of money. I guess also because of all the exes and things like that. But she's sitting in the room, and the demonic powers of hell are literally speaking through this lady. And they're saying, because Maud was telling me this, they were saying, I don't have to leave because she won't forgive. I went, okay. So, Pastor Dave, what are you going to do? I said, okay. So I walk in the room. I look at this lady, and I just told her, Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you. I'm going to ask this lady a question. I want her to answer out of her own soul. So I looked at this lady. I said, I have one question to ask you and one question only. Are you willing to forgive this husband? And very calmly, she said, no, not at all. I looked at Ron and Maud. I said, we are finished here. Case closed. Have a good day. Out the door. All right? So, you know, we have to play the ball where it lies, right? And these things happen. Can't justify our stand. All right, number four. There are real blessings attached to forgiving. There are real blessings attached to forgiving. Open doors will become manifest to us. Once we know how much we have been forgiven, we should want to lavish others, especially the body of Christ, with love. Right? Well, if we let the Word of God, folks, we let the Word of God rule and reign in our hearts, then we will be quick to forgive people. Let's look at Luke 7:44 through 48. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet." This guy Simon was a Pharisee. "But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head." Jesus said, "You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the very time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven," I mean, no, we got a lot to be forgiven for. "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." How many love Jesus? Absolutely. So, there are this woman, by the way, went down in history and got her name in the Bible. And what she did has been elevated for everybody to see through the centuries. Wow, amazing. So what you do has a ripple effect. It will affect many people. Right? Okay. So, getting back to my lieutenant commander friend in Annapolis, Lieutenant Commander Bob. Now we're close buddies. We're good friends. Had I taken a different stand, this wouldn't have happened. So I've been in Annapolis for 6 months. It's Saturday morning. I go to the gym. I work out. I walk outside. I sit down near this tree and watch the midshipmen as they did their rowing. They call it crew, you know, and I watched them and tried to kind of cool off, and pretty soon I'm pretty cool down, and so I begin to sing in the Spirit and just say, "Lord, I love you, and I just want to hear what you have to say to me," and I'm praising him and I wait on him. And he said, see, I had a nickname at that church. Charlie Beck, who was the founding pastor and called me to come in and help him, they called him Joshua. And a prophetic word had gone forth saying, "I'm going to raise up a Joshua and Caleb ministry to lead the people." So when I came into the church, I became the Caleb to his Joshua. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me on this Saturday, and he said, "Hear the word of God, Dave. As Caleb went into Hebron and possessed his possessions, so now I am sending you to your Hebron, which is New Orleans, where you will move into the next phase of your ministry and calling, and you will meet your wife there. And so your time is up here." Wow. I don't tell anybody. I go into service Sunday morning. Here comes Lieutenant Commander Bob walking up to me. He said, "Pastor Dave, I got a word for you." I said, "Okay." So Brother Charlie Beck came over, the pastor, and he holds the microphone. And he looks at me and he says, "Yeah, hear the word of the Lord, Caleb. As Caleb went into Hebron and possessed his possessions, so I am sending you to your Hebron, and you know what it is. And you're going to move into the next phase of your ministry. Does that make sense to you?" Hello? Yeah. What would have happened if I had cut him off during that first meeting, and rather than listening to him and we became good friends? You know, later on when I went to New Orleans, maybe 5 or 6 years later, he and his wife drove down to the New Orleans area just to visit and make sure I was doing okay and to meet Ina, you know. And so, how many know God's good? He has a wonderful plan for us. The devil is evil. He's got a terrible plan for you, but you don't have to embrace what he's pitching, okay? All right, let's look at number 5. Oh, I love this one. Ooh, Jesus, he's so good. If you have an offense you have not dealt with, first you keep thinking about it. Anybody ever been there? You just rehearse it again and again and again and again and again. Then you wake up in the middle of the night, you know, rehearsing it, rehearsing it, rehearsing it. Then you begin to tell others about it. Uh-oh. Everybody say, uh-oh. Tell your neighbor, don't start telling other people about your issues. Then you begin to tell others about it. What a rat that person was. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they said to me? All right. Then you begin to tell others about it, and there is the temptation for them to pick up your offense. Now, no, none of that has ever happened to you, but it's out there. It can happen. Therefore, let us pursue what? The things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And then he says, it is good neither to eat meat or drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So the longer we hold on to an offense, then it hurts them, it hurts us. We need to deal with it. Can you say amen or oh me? Right? Now, I know you're not going to do laps around the church when I'm preaching this. But this is good stuff. This is very helpful, I believe. It will become that way especially. So, this is a great, wow, this is an incredible, incredible story. A number of years ago, I was one of the co-pastors in New Orleans. Pastor Green called me into his office. He said, David, I've got to go. I'm leaving for the next few days. But you really have to help me with a problem. Okay, Pastor Green, what is it? Well, he said, there's a family in the church. And he said, we had a high, actually first grade through senior high. We had a school. We were a couple thousand people in that church. And we had a school there. And he said, you got to help me with this. I said, what is it? He said, well, he said, this one particular family has been hurt, has been wounded by what they think someone said, like the fellow who was running the school, the principal. But he said, I don't know if it's true or not. He said, I really don't want to try to. He said, I don't want to lose this family. They're a great family. I think there were like four or five of them in this family. They were African American people. And I said, okay, Pastor Green, you know. So he takes off, and so I go into the prayer room, right? That's a good place to go. And I started praying about it, and I called the family, and I said, would you meet with us and the principal? Can you meet with us tomorrow? They said, sure, we'll meet. So I had a young man from the Bible college the day we were supposed to meet with his family. Actually, the hour before we were supposed to meet with the family. And I said, I'm not going to tell you what the issue is. But I just want you to know that I think the enemy has gotten in here, and we need to bind the enemy. The people are not the issue. The enemy was the issue at the time. That's what the Holy Spirit has shown me. So we bound the strong man. How many know we can do that? Tell your neighbor, you can do that. Whatsoever things you bind on earth, what? Shall have already been bound in heaven. All right? And so we prayed. I prayed with this brother. We took authority over the spirit of offense that was entering in. We took authority over. And we went into the meeting. I still had no idea what was going to happen. So I told the principal, you come in, you sit down, you look pretty, you don't say a word until I ask you to be a part. Got it? Yeah, okay. So, it was very gracious. I told this family, I said, I want to thank you so much for being here. You know, I know that some problems have arisen, but we want to be able to solve them because we're believers, we're Christians, this is what we do. And I know you feel exactly the same way. Is that right? Yeah, Pastor, that's exactly how we feel. So they said their side of it. And the principal, you know, he's ready to say his side of it. And then they said to me, before he could even talk, But you know what? We don't believe that scenario at all. We believe the enemy put that in our minds. And we want to reconcile. Oh, the joy of the Lord is our... I said, hey, that's an awesome idea. I said to the principal, can we say amen? And he went, amen. I said, that is so cool. And he says, we love you guys and praise God for you. And so let's just have a prayer meeting right here. So we all got in a circle. We joined hands. We spoke the word for each other. It's the Willis family, pal. Remember them? And you know what? God healed that whole situation. And we were done within 30 minutes. And we spent most of the time just in praise and in prayer and thanksgiving, right? That's why it's so important that before you go into a situation and you think it may be the enemy, you bind him. You take authority. You have authority. Tell the person next to you, you have authority in Christ. Okay. Almost done. Number 6. There is no offense or sin we cannot forgive by God's grace. Can you say amen? Measured by Christ's forgiveness of our sins. All right, so good. All right. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. We had read that earlier. Okay, I'm going to tell you an incredible story. How many of you really do believe, and then we'll be done. How many of you really do believe, and we will be having communion, by the way, that's how we're ending today. How many of you really believe that there is nothing impossible for God? If we really trust Him and do what His Word says to, right? All right, so Ina and I, this is, golly, this is 1971, I think. If we'd been married a year, it was close. And so we're in this service, and it's like a pall over the service. It's almost like literally, because we compared notes about it later. It was almost like a dark cloud in the building. And we didn't know what was going on. And then Pastor Green gets up and he says, yay, there are 3 mischiefs in the camp. Oh. You know, and he describes what they are. Well, everybody hits the altar, you know. The only problem is with a lot of times when that happens, everybody comes that's innocent, that has no issues. The people who really had the issues were still sitting in their chairs. So some time went on. All of a sudden, we get the news. I get a phone call. Man, you got to hear. This is on a Sunday afternoon. This is a week or two later. I said, well, what happened? The worship leader and the pastor's secretary were having a sexual relationship, and they weren't married. Everybody said, uh-oh. And to make matters worse, we found that the husband of the secretary was a truck driver. He came home to find this. And the worship leader had already gone out the back door. And so now the truck driver, his name was Harold, he's got a gun and he's going over to the worship leader's name was Milton, who's going over to his house to blow him away. Brother Green hears about it. He intervenes. He goes over to the worship leader's house, and he stands in front of Milton, and he told the truck driver, Harold, if you shoot him, you're going to have to kill me. You're going to have to kill me because you don't want to do this. And the truck driver said, but Brother Green, I love you. I don't want to hurt you. He said, then give me the gun. It's like a movie. It's like a movie. And the truck driver's crying. And the other guy's crying, but maybe from a different reason. He's going to die today. You know. So he takes the gun. But this is crazy. This is crazy. Neither, what's going on? Neither the worship leader, Milton, nor the lady, Sandra, repented. What? They wouldn't repent of the sin. So what do? We had to put them out of the church until they repented. Brother Green got up. He says, I don't want anybody contacting him. If you're a relative, I'm especially talking to you. You're not to do this. He said, God can restore this, but it's got to be his way. The good news is, a month or so later, they both came back. They repented. They were in tears. They were restored to their mates, which was a miracle. And 1 year later, the time came when both of them, we had a communion service that blew everything away. And I feel teary a little bit here. Both couples came down and broke bread together in front of the whole church and hugged each other, prayed for each other. Don't you tell me that this can't work if we do it God's way. Let's stand. Brother Dave, you tell a lot of stories. That's because I've lived a long time. You live a long time, you got a lot of stories. Hopefully good ones. We're going to get ready for communion. We can move this back and then move the communion table up. Richard and Lisa, if you guys had come, be serving today. Brenda, Ivy can tell you exactly how we're going to operate this, but take somebody's hand. Take somebody's hand. Father, I just thank you, Lord, today that you, Lord, have forgiven us incredible amount of pain that's come to you. You've forgiven us, oh God, for eternity. We thank you, Lord, that we owe a debt we could never pay. All we have to do is surrender to you and say, yes, Lord, I'll serve you all my days. I'll do what you ask me to do. So, Father, we just thank you for your great grace. We thank you that that grace covers everything, that we can walk in this life in peace and righteousness and joy as we embrace what you said and taught us in the Word of God. We are so happy to be members one of another. And, Lord, we just thank you today that if there are folks here, Lord, that have issues toward anyone, either whether it's in here, I don't know of anything, or somewhere else, but the time will come when that will happen because we're humans. We're in the flesh. These things happen. We thank you that the grace is already there for us to deal with it, make it right, and walk in peace and joy and righteousness. And we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Okay.